Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning, particularly those of you who are visiting with us. If you are, we're happy that you're with us this morning and would encourage you to come back at every opportunity that you have. And we hope that you would stick around a bit. I know it's difficult in this environment, but maybe out in the parking lot or somewhere where we can just get to know you a little bit better and encourage one another. We just finished singing a few moments ago, number 680, Be With Me, Lord. I want to read a couple of verses, and as I'm reading these two verses, I want you to think of the year 2020. Be with me, Lord. I cannot live without thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need thy strength to lean myself upon. Be with me, Lord, when loneliness o'ertakes me, when I must weep amid the fires of pain, and when shall come the hour of my departure for worlds unknown, O Lord, be with me then. You know, no doubt, the year 2020 has been a challenging one. Been challenging to us in many ways. Many of us got to see some family over this past holiday. There are others of us who did not get to see our families and are missing family and missing those that we care about. There's others of us who have known someone or either distant or very close who have struggled with the virus and COVID, and potentially lost a friend or a family member due to COVID. And it's been a very challenging year in many respects. I've heard many people say, both at work, my colleagues at work, and you hear on the media and the news sometimes, I'll be happy when 2020 is over. Right? Can't wait for 2021. And I'll be happy when 2020 is in the rearview mirror. And while I understand the sentiment there, I do think that it's, as Christians, it's important that we don't wish time away. You know, every day that we have is an opportunity to do God's will, right? And it's important that in the passage that Van read for us in Philippians, that we learn to be content with what we have. And things aren't always as we would like for them to be, right? In Philippians 4, again in that passage, verse 11, Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Being content is it's a choice, and it's something that we have to learn how to do. He says, I know how to be abased, or I know how to be low, and I know how to abound. I know what it's like when things are rough, and I know what it's like when things are going really well. He goes, everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I want us to take a few moments, you know, to think about, you know, this morning, how do we get through good times? How do we get through tough times? And in all of those times, you know, it's we either do well or we don't based on our walk with God. And are we walking with God? Are we close to God and His Word? One of the passages that I always go to that I want to spend a few moments on this morning when I'm either anxious or even when things are going well or I don't know how I'm going to get through something or I'm feeling uncertain is the 23rd Psalm. And I know it's a psalm that is talked about a lot, and it's one that even people outside of the church often know parts of it or have heard it. But I think that that speaks to its relevance, and it speaks to, you know, how it actually speaks to people, and particularly Christians who have a relationship with God in our lives. So I'd encourage you to turn to Psalm 23 as I read that. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is a very comforting passage to me. It doesn't promise that I won't have difficulty. It doesn't promise that there won't be times where I won't be afraid or that I won't be anxious, but it promises and shows that we have a shepherd, we have the Lord who watches over us in all things. In the first three verses, it talks about how the Lord is our provider, how he provides. So many people this year have lost their businesses, they've lost their jobs, they've lost many material things as our economy shifted, but the Lord promises to take care of his sheep in one way or another. We know that when you think about Israel in the wilderness, and it was mentioned this morning in our Bible class, God provided manna for them every day and water. Now, you may not like a steady diet of manna and water, but God provides for you. He provided for them. And there might be times where we don't like some of the things that we have to eat and we would rather have something nicer. But God provides. He provided them clothes that didn't wear out. And I'm sure that, you know, they may have liked to have had different types of clothes at some point, or they get tired of wearing the same things, or would like something new. But there's a difference between our needs and our wants, and God takes care of our needs. We're reminded in Matthew 14, starting in verse 17, there about the five loaves and two fish. And when Jesus was with his disciples there, and it said, and they said to him, "We have here only five loaves and two fish." He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. You know, what I'm reminded is that God can do a lot with a little. And while sometimes I think I only have a little, and actually I have a lot, but he can work with whatever is in my life if I just let him do that. We need to make sure that we do our part, and when we follow God, when we seek him, he will bring blessings our way. Right in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom." I know it was probably just a couple of weeks ago I made a comment or a joke about, you know, me getting ice cream. And, you know, I go to the ice cream store, and when I order some ice cream, I want it, you know, I order a bowl of ice cream. I don't want one of those hollow scoops that when you scoop with the scooper and it just does a ring around and the rest of it's hollow in the middle. I want it solid. I want it pressed down, packed. And that's what God does in our life with his blessings. If we just allow him to work in our lives, if we just have faith in him that he will take care of us, if we will submit and give him control over our lives, it's amazing how things will come to us from different avenues that we didn't expect. He will take care of us, even in uncertain times, and not just take care of us, but pressed down, running over, will be put. And he wants good things for us. We need to remember in uncertain times, and we think, well, why is this working out the way that it is? God wants good for us. He loves us. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." God goes, "I know how I think about you." He says, "Thoughts of peace and not evil." Right? In the New Testament, we're promised the peace that passes all understanding. God wants us to be at peace. Even if the world around us is chaotic and things are uncertain, he wants us to have peace. He goes, "I have thoughts of peace for you, not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Right? Christians shouldn't be always thinking that there's no way out. There is a future, and God can create that future. We sing that song sometimes, God will make a way, right? Where there seems to be no way. Do you believe that song, right? When you sing that, that he wants to give us a future. He wants to give us hope. He says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." God's not hard to find if we want to find him. And he's there and he thinks good things towards us and wants good things for us. But we have to look for him and we have to engage with him and walk with him, not just in times of trial, but in times of blessing. You know, not only, he also takes care of us physically in many ways. It talks about there in verse 2 that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Have we ever had a child or have we ever had someone that you tried to help and despite your best efforts and you know what's good for them, they just don't take it, they just won't do it, and you know how this story ends because either you've lived it yourself or you've seen this over and over. Here it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, not rushing waters, not dangerous waters, but he's our shepherd. He wants to take care of us if we'll let him and we submit to him. In Matthew 6, verse 25, that's where Jesus reminds us not to worry about our life. Right? Things are pretty uncertain in the country at this point. In many ways, right? Politically, it seems like the country's so divided. There's racial tensions, as there always has been, you know, in the country. There's violence. Violence is on the rise in so many ways. And just people being good to one another seems to be absent compared to what it may have been at other times. And there could be a lot to worry about. But Jesus says, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, you know, your job, how things are going to work out for you in the future. He goes, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Just look right around us. Be still and know that I am God. Take a look outside. Just sit in your front yard, sit in your backyard, and look at the evidence that's around us that there is a God and that he loves you and the power that he has to take care of you. He goes, look at the birds. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows, he knows that you have need of these things. He'll certainly take care of us physically. He'll also take care of us spiritually. In verse 3 of Psalm 23, it says, he restores my soul. And you know, so oftentimes we focus so much on the physical and our physical needs, sometimes we forget the importance of the spiritual. And that being spiritually restored, being spiritually taken care of, actually will help us get through anything physical. Right? What does it mean to restore something? Right? When you restore, some people restore furniture, some people restore an old car, or restore a house. Right? Some of us, I know, we've bought houses in the past, and you know, we look at it as a project, and we restore it. But it's to make it whole again, right? To put it back into its original condition. And this is something that God is a master at. He wants us to be whole. He wants us spiritually to be well. Because when we aren't, we're broken. We're torn apart. I'm reminded of Peter when Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, you know, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he might sift you as wheat. Some of you may have been cooking or baking over this holiday. I remember my mom taking one of those old sifters, those cylinder sifters, and she'd pour flour in the top and the lumps would come out, and she would squeeze that and the blades would spin in there. And what does a sifter do? It breaks it down to its very smallest part. Satan wants to break us down. He wants to tear us apart. He wants us not to be together, both as a church and also as an individual. He wants us to feel like we're not enough. And sometimes he succeeds. Right? Sometimes through the choices that we make, we're broken people. We look back at some of the choices or the things that we've done, the things that we've said, and it's very painful that we allowed Satan to take control. You know, what does David know in Psalm 23 about having to have his soul restored? You know, you look in Psalm 51, just a couple of pages over, and you can hear, you know, after he had his one of his sins with Bathsheba and then also killing her husband, David had been sifted. He was in a bad place. And he says in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Again, against you, and you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in my inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. David knows that when spiritually we're in distress, the only place to go is to God. He is the one who can put us back together. He is the one that will find a way to make sure that we feel whole and that we can feel good about ourselves, that the guilt can be taken away. And we will always struggle. Satan will always find a way to tempt us, to challenge us, but with God we can remain spiritually whole. You know, in verses 4 through 6 in our text, he talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and he talks about, in verse 5, preparing a table before our enemies. God is a protector of us through our journey through life. You know, people talk about, well, life is short. Life is short. You know, when you have kids, you realize how fast time goes and you see them grow, and before you know it, they have kids. But life is also a long time. You think back to when you were a little kid, for most of us, it wasn't just yesterday. There's a lot of days in between then and now. And we've lived a lot of life. And with God's grace, and if it's His will, you know, well, most of us will live a good more life, hopefully. But there's times when, you know, you look at in verse 4 where he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That valley looks different for each of us. Sometimes that valley is a mental valley. Sometimes people struggle with depression. Right? They struggle with things in their life where it just feels really heavy and life feels really low. But the rod and the staff that we get comfort from is looking at God and knowing as a shepherd, right, that He has power. He's in control.